Good afternoon. Those of you who don't know, maybe you all do, this is Maundy Thursday. And Maundy Thursday, the word Maundy means commandment. And it really comes from that word on this day in Holy Week. After washing their feet, he talked to them in the context of the Lord's Supper that there's a new commandment. That new commandment was to love one another. And therefore, that's the commandment, to love one another, so Maundy Thursday. Most of the time when people preach or teach about something on Maundy Thursday, they'll do one or two things. They'll talk about the Eucharist, or they'll talk about the washing of feet. But there are a lot of other things that happen on Maundy Thursday besides those two things. Those are great subjects to talk about, but when you've been doing this for about 40 years, you'd like to find some other stuff too. One of the things that's fascinating to me about this life that Jesus lives, because remember, this is so important that you remember this, and this is what the church has always believed. You know, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. But Philippians 2 makes it really clear is that Jesus laid down his right to live his life on earth as God. He could have at any moment, but he didn't. And so so he lived on this earth as the second Adam, to reveal to us how the first Adam was supposed to live and to give us a vision of what a redeemed, saved person or Christian would look like. So the things that Jesus did, he says it over and over again in Scripture, that he said, I didn't do these things, the Father did them through me. And so when I think about the life that Jesus lived, one of the things my spiritual father used to say is that Christianity is the life that Jesus lived then, lived now, by him, in us. The life that Jesus lived then, lived now, by him, in us. That's Christianity. It's not me trying to live for Jesus. It's allowed Jesus to live his life through me as his body. We're called the body of Christ corporately, but we make up the body of Christ personally, individually. So when I read that part that Brett read about in Mark 14 about Jesus telling them, his disciples, to go find this place to do the Eucharist, the upper room, and that he tells them, you're going to go here, and there's going to be a man walking down the way with a pitcher of water, and you're going to follow him, and you're going to ask him for this room, and he's going to take you and show you this big room, all that kind of thing. And the cool thing is that it happened just like that. So here's the deal. What you need to understand is that what are we longing for as Christians? Like, what are we shooting for? Is it just to go to church, to say, I'm going to go to heaven one day? Is it to, be a better person? Well, it's good. Jesus does make us better people because he wants us to be Christ-like. And Christ-like is, again, not something you try to do. It's what you allow him to be in you. But when I see that story, I'm thinking, if Jesus says that I can pray for the sick and they can be healed, if I do it in his name, right? I can give words of knowledge. I can give prophecy. I can do all that cool stuff. We've seen so many miraculous things over the years. But so the thing that Jesus did when he said there's going to be a guy with water and that we can do that stuff too. That was a word of knowledge. That was a prophetic utterance. And he gave that word as a man, not as God. And so all those examples were not just examples for us to go look at and go, oh man, that's so awesome. Jesus is so wonderful. Yes, he is. And it's the same Jesus who lives in you and lives in me. Now, when I read stuff like that, when I think of things like that, it stokes my furnace. Because what I'm going after is Christ-likeness. And Christ-likeness isn't just about character. Maybe that's the foundation. It's not just about those kind of things. But it's also being able to live a life that's supernatural. Because that changes people's lives. when you have a word of knowledge for somebody and it's accurate and you give them details that nobody else can know, they have an encounter with God. It affirms to them that he's real. It causes them to want to yield their life to him. And my goodness, if there's ever been a time in history in our country where we need to see the real deal and not just conversations and arguments and discussion. The church, we say this sometimes, is that the church is called to proclaim the gospel, but we've made spitballs out of it and shoot it at each other. And yet, what would happen if the church began to really manifest Christ-likeness like that? Think that'd have an impact on some of your unbelieving friends? On your own congregation that you're a part of? Yeah. I remember, well, this was really not the sermon, but it is the Maundy Thursday verse. I remember at one point I was in Uganda, and I was there on Pentecost Sunday with a team of people that went with me. We had heard about it. It was well known among us in America that there was an archdeacon from Congo, and two of his children had been abducted by the rebels. And one of the children made their way back, but they found their daughter, like 19-year-old daughter, had been ravaged and then murdered, was out in the jungle. They found her. And I would tell you his name, but I can't, his name was a really long name. It has a French kind of thing to it, and I can't pronounce it. But I didn't know, I never met him, didn't know what he looked like, didn't know anything. So in the middle of worship, there were all these clergy dressed up like this, like Father Brett, like Father Bob, all over, you can only imagine, in this cathedral. And there were some other clergy that were just in suits sitting on the side over here, but they were worshiping too. And I was wearing a stole like this that the original founder of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, original patriarch, had given me. And the Lord said to me, I want you to give this away. And after like talked to him about it, and then he said, I want you to give it to that guy right over there. And so I called this guy over and I said, I'm going to give you this stole. This belonged to the original patriarch. And I gave him a prophetic word and it just wrecked him. One, the original patriarch, who was very beloved in Africa, he got this stole. I gave him a prophetic word like, whatever, God's done, there's some things that have been going on in your life, but don't give in to anger or bitterness. Don't quit. Keep going on. And the prophetic anointing that was on him is going to be on you. So we went back and sat down, and people were like worshiping. They were going crazy, all this kind of stuff. And so I leaned over to Hannington, the bishop. And I said, Bishop Hannington, is that God, the archdeacon who lost his children? Is he here? And he said, that's the guy you gave the stole to. Well, you think that was just a lucky break? Like a wild guess? See, if you're having to rationalize what that's about, I mean, the odds of that are one in a million. Now, that happened in the same service. Train changed his life. But it also had a huge impact on the people that were there that changed their lives. To the point where it was just the next day that, or maybe it was that same day, actually, when my administrative assistant prayed for a little child who was diagnosed with an encephalitis, which means there's no brain. Maybe a little bit of a brain, and there's the back of the skull doesn't exist. In the womb, because the baby hadn't moved for 8 months. And so Karen just prayed, and a priest was there interpreting, and the priest thought he felt something move, but we didn't know. We had to leave there within a few days, and she was Congolese, she was a refugee, you know, living out in the grass, somebody's yard with the tent. Well, a few weeks later, we get this, Timothy writes, we were in my office doing some administrative stuff, and he writes to Karen and says, the woman gave birth to a healthy little boy, girl, with a full brain and a full skull. Now that's Christianity, y'all. Does that stuff happen all the time? No, but it happens a lot, and it should happen more if we're going to be Christ-like And again, if Christ's likeness is the life he lived then, lived now by him through us, then we should grow in the place of expecting, right? Because only the expectant give birth to anything. So I just encourage you with that little story of Jesus telling him this. This is a real simple story. Jesus wasn't just showing off. Go there, be a person with water, and when you see him, then it happened. He was revealing to us what normal humanity, redeemed, can do. Okay? Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.